meeting to order. Appreciate everyone's attendance. Our first order of business is to introduce and give the oath of office to our new regents. We'll do this one at a time. Which one wants to go first?
Let's go ladies.
I'm better for it here.
All right.
That's not being too short. I'm just going to say ladies.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University according to law? And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you being a citizen of this state, have not called a duel with deadly weapons within the state, nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as second in carrying a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offending, so help you God.
Yes.
I did.
So, Julie, what we do when a member becomes, when an individual becomes a member of the Board of Regents, we commissioned about 19 years ago, as a matter of fact, a Regents pin that is modeled after the WKU ring, and only members who serve on the Board of Regents have this pin. And we hope this will be something that will be important to you, and that you will wear it proudly, not only while you're on the board, but for every year hereafter. Congratulations. Look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Jason, your turn. This is Jason McKinney.
Jason went first.
So the duel won't throw you off.
Good morning. Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University according to law? And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being a citizen of the state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state, nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as second in carrying a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offending, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Congratulations.
Wear this pin proudly. Now, this is the first, because when I talked with Jason shortly after Governor Bevin made his announcement last Friday afternoon, I called him and he said, well, you know, we started together. I was a freshman when you became president, so this is the first member of the board who went through school that I put a degree in their hands, so congratulations.
I want to welcome Julie and Jason to our board and let you know that all the regents are available to help, assist, answer questions, extend camaraderie, whatnot. So don't reach out to us at any time. I'd also like to say at this time, let's extend applause of appreciation to Melissa Dennison and Larry Zilke for their years of service on our board.
Well, good morning to everyone. Special call meeting for Friday, August 19th. At this time, I'll ask Secretary Harris to call the roll.
Regent Bales.
Present.
Regent Burt.
Here.
Chair Higdon.
Here.
Regent Henson.
Henson. Present.
Regent Johnson.
Here.
Regent McKinney.
Here.
Present.
Regent Ritchie.
Here.
Regent Wrigley.
Here.
Thank you. And Regent Smith.
Present.
Mr. Chair, we have 11 regents present for the meeting.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We do have a quorum officially empowered to conduct business. At this time, I call on President Ransdell, who is going to make a proposal to the board on a matter for our consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be very brief. I made a presentation in executive session when this was a property matter at our last meeting. It is no longer a property matter, but I will make a very abbreviated presentation with some of the same information you saw a few weeks ago, but I will move through it rather quickly regarding a partnership with the Medical Center of Bowling Green, Kentucky. As many of you know, on February 18th, we announced a partnership with the University of Kentucky to bring a full four-year medical school to Bowling Green. That medical school will open in the fall of 18 with 40 students, and after 4 years, we'll have a complete population of 160 students. And we began in February to determine how best to accommodate that partnership and the location of a college of medicine. UK has agreed to a sublease from WKU on the third floor of the WKU Medical Center Health Sciences Complex for a college of medicine. I have assurances from President Capiluto that they value this sublease strategy and will be pleased to be housed on the third floor of the Health Sciences Complex on the Medical Center campus. In that regard, the Medical Center proposes to construct a sports medicine complex on the WKU campus. The Medical Center Board met originally on July 19th to approve this, and then again on Tuesday, August 9th, to accommodate requests made from members of this board with regard to the terms of that transaction. And we will then locate our Doctor of Physical Therapy program in new space in the Med Center Health Sports Medicine Complex. This is the current third floor of the Health Science Complex on the Medical Center campus. Currently, physical therapy occupies something in the range. Harvey Wallman, the head of our DPT program, is here. Harvey, I believe you occupy something around 12,500 square feet on this floor. So that gives you some context, as we'll look in a moment, the space that they will occupy, the expanded space they'll occupy in the new building. From this point here is a School of Nursing faculty offices. The part the DPT occupies is this wing plus the classrooms. The cadaver lab is right here and it will stay here. These facilities will be replaced in the new building. So UK basically will occupy much of this, with this being shared space with our DPT program. The matter that has been accepted by the Medical Center Board of Directors is a 99-year lease, and I do want to reiterate the precedence for such a lease with our current lease with the Ogden Foundation, where most of our science buildings sit. This is language from the lease that we currently have with the Ogden Foundation for 99 years for property at the front corner of our campus. This section right here, and this is the space that we do not own that we lease for 99 years from the Ogden Foundation, which is a remnant of the original Ogden College. And, of course, you're familiar with Student Life Foundation property on our campus that we do not own. These are the parcels of land that the Student Life Foundation owns and on which they continue to improve our residence halls. In this agreement, the Medical Center will pay all costs for the design and construction of the complex, an estimated construction cost of $22 million. They will create an orthopedic team and locate them in this facility that will provide physician services to our athletic programs.
and they will involve our DPT faculty and students in med centers, sports medicine and orthopedic programs, and this will create the opportunity for our DPT faculty and students to engage with WKU athletic teams. As we get into discussion, I'm sure that Dr. Wallman will be glad to share his perspectives with regard to this opportunity for our DPT program. However, we appreciate you being here. WKU will provide a lease, 99 years at $1 a year. We will lease the space occupied by physical therapy using the revenue generated from the WKU sublease. So this is a financial break-even for WKU. But that is the only space that we will lease in the building. We will pay operating expenses related to maintenance and operations for the space we occupy. Med Center will pay M&O for the space it occupies. Given the fact that the facilities budget already includes M&O expenses for the baseball clubhouse and hitting facility in its budget now, and baseball will occupy smaller square footage in the new building than they currently occupy. Actually, Brian Russell's budget may get a bit of a boost because that money's already in your budget. Therefore, new money is not needed to cover the M&O on the baseball space, and DPT will continue to pay the M&O expenses on the space it occupies as it's currently doing in the medical center, in keeping with the statutory requirement that doctoral programs be self-supporting. Therefore, the new money needed for this facility would be the 83,000 square feet in the multipurpose building, which is $2 a square foot, which is what Brian Russell has estimated it will be, coming to $166,000 per year for the M&O costs on the space not currently covered in the new facility. Preston Center has been asked to manage and schedule this building. Stephen Ray is here. Steve, right over here, is the director of our Preston Center, and he has agreed to be the director, if you will, of this facility and manage all scheduling with it. And he may have some thoughts that you all may want to, he might want to share with you with regard to his plans for intramural use, for club team use. I think he even has a climbing wall in mind that the Preston Center has been trying to figure out how to accommodate for some time. But the Preston Center will manage this building, and it will be part of the Preston Center portfolio of facilities on our campus. We will recognize Med Center Health as the official health care provider for WKU, creating multiple market opportunities for Med Center Health. Eventually, the Medical Center will have the exclusive right to operate the campus health clinic. And they will structure medical benefits for faculty and staff to include incentives for our employees, and to the degree to which those incentives can be achieved, or to the degree to which they may or may not win more business from our employees. But all of our employees will continue to have full choice in all of their medical services, and time will tell whether they're able to win any more business from our employees or not. The Med Center Sports Medicine Complex features a two-story, 57,000-square-foot building. With the first floor will house the Med Center Health Sports Medicine Practice, Diagnostic X-ray Rehabilitation Services, and support space for WKU's baseball program. I do also expect they'll have an orthopedic presence in the building, and there's been considerable discussion about an MRI machine in this space as well. But that's to be determined. And then, of course, baseball will be relocated to this floor, given the fact that they will lose their current facilities. The second floor will house the Doctor of Physical Therapy degree program. The 83,000-foot indoor facility will be used for rehabilitation purposes, for training, for intramural sports. All of our students will have access to this facility. And, of course, for our athletic teams as well. And it will include a full-size practice football field, sprint lanes for track, netting for baseball, softball, and golf, high jump, long jump, pole vault pits, DPT rehab equipment. A lot of the equipment in the rooms currently in the health sciences complex will be replicated in this space, in this building. And the complex will bear the name of the medical center, bear a name of the medical center's choosing currently, that's projected to be the Med Center Health Sports Medicine Complex. This is the footprint that the building will occupy, a total of 2.52 acres. between the football stadium and the baseball field. And this is the first floor of, This is the first floor of the building. Entrance, Medical Center Health will have this space in which they will have their sports medicine and orthopedic services. And then baseball will occupy this space again, which is considerably less than the currently occupying, but their hitting facility will be replicated with netting in this facility, and the same thing for softball over here. That's the first floor. The second floor is where DPT will be located, a total of 18,800 feet, so they're having a net gain of about 6,000 square feet for their use, and Harvey and his faculty will work directly with the architect to design this space to meet their needs. It's wide open. It's just a blank space right now, and so that will yet to be determined, and determining what our DPT faculty seek in a total of 18,800 square feet. So that is the project, and I'd be happy to pursue any other lines of thought that any board member may want to discuss. And or is, I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chair, but that's the project in a nutshell. And in my opinion, it's a significant opportunity for WKU to partner with the medical center and to get a facility that is a high priority for the institution in both our student life and our athletic programs. And a new opportunity for DPT to strengthen their services by connecting to a sports medicine and orthopedic group and our athletic teams as well.
Thank you, President Ransdell. This time we obviously don't have an official item to discuss, but I do want to reach out to the Regents to see specifically if you have a question about that presentation that you'd like to go back to or have clarification on, or anything that Dr. Ransdell has presented by way of his PowerPoint. Anyone? Okay, at this time the floor is open for if there's a motion for the board to consider this proposal.
Mr. Chair, I move that the Board of Regents authorize the President to establish a long-term partnership with the Medical Center for healthcare-related services for faculty, staff, and students, and on-site access to sports medicine and orthopedic services for students in WKU's doctor physical therapy program, and to negotiate a long-term lease with the Medical Center of Bowling Green for approximately 2.52 acres of land on the Avenue of Champions, on which the Medical Center will build, at its expense, a multi-purpose sports medicine and training facility for the purposes stated above.
I have a motion by Regent Johnson. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Got dual seconds by Regent, Porter and Harris. So we now have an item for discussion by the board. I do want to take the opportunity to assure each of the Regents that they will have an opportunity to discuss. Dr. Capps has been so kind to share with me, and I picked up a little crutch here this morning. At this time, the Roberts Rules of Order will allow each regent to debate twice on any debatable motion on this matter. Each time, you may speak up to 10 minutes. Now, there's been some question that I will pose to you after I finish. We may want to cut that to 7, 5, or whatever. But according to Roberts Rules, you have 10 minutes, and you may debate twice. The discussion is limited to the matter at hand. You cannot save time or transfer it to someone else. As a general rule, the chair will designate to speak or recognize the person who rises after the first previous speaker has finished and sat down. So because of the room we're in and stuff, I if you want to rise, that's fine. I will acknowledge that. I know we've in the past had practice of raising hands, but let's go to you rise when you want to speak. And under the rules, the maker of the motion has the option to go first, and then the practice is to rotate for and against. So if the person that speaks is for the proposal, the next person that I should recognize it should be against the proposal. Again, two opportunities to speak, 10 minutes. Let me look over to Dr. Capps. Have I mischaracterized anything? You're on? All right, so the emperor has blessed the proceedings.
Mr. Chair, question, please. Does that interpret to mean you can speak twice during the whole session and you either use your 10 minutes at that time or you lose any opportunity to respond or ask questions of anybody else?
Dr. Capp?
Your question is?
I understand. I hope none of us take all 2-10 minutes.
Right, then.
But am I understanding that you have a chance to speak two times in this entire session? And
right.
So no matter what somebody says, if you've already spoken twice, you have no option to raise a question.
According to Roberts.
With all due respect to Roberts, or whoever you want to that's an extraordinary procedure for us to use as a board. I don't remember us ever using it before. And my only concern, I don't personally need 10 minutes every time I talk, but I'd like to think there was the opportunity to ask for clarification of questions and points that come up on something that has been a concern to board members. And I would hate to think that we're imposing this to discourage any rebuttals or clarification of points. So I personally want to just go on record as saying I think that is a discouraging way of doing it if we're going to genuinely air the elements of this particular proposal. What we need to come to at the end is an agreement that we can all live with, and I think that will discourage it.
I will present that in the moment to the board to say.
I can speak to the theory behind it. The theory behind that is once a person's spoken twice, the person has indicated everything that he or she wants to mention about that particular item.
And I accept that, except that if it turns out that John Ridley says something or Jay says something that is totally different, that raises a question, it eliminates your chance to even clarify it.
Well, that would come within his 10 minutes if you're keeping time. I don't think anybody's going to be keeping time today, but...
I intend to keep time.
The chair did say twice only and you can't carry your time forward. That would suggest to me once you've spoken twice, you shut up the rest of the time.
That is my proposal to the board, to the regents, Robert's rules. Obviously, if the board wants to change that, we will entertain a motion and a vote to change the rules.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Robert's rules of order are dictated by our bylaws.
Correct.
So the question that I would ask, for which I don't necessarily have an answer, is that in order to go away from the Robert's rules of order would require an amendment to the bylaws.
That's true.
Not saying Barbara's wrong by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just pointing out that our bylaws absolutely provide for this, and in order to change the procedure, I think we have to amend the bylaws.
I understand, Mr. Johnson, except that to my knowledge, we have never imposed that in the 20 years the President's been here, and it seems strange we would impose it on this occasion. I'm not worried about 10 minutes. I think speaking reasonable lengths of time is reasonable. But I would hate to discourage the opportunity to clarify points and have discussion among us since we've not had that opportunity face-to-face.
Thank you, Dr. Birch. Any other clarification, Dr. Capps?
Theoretically, you could change the orders of the day. That is, changing rules with a 2/3 majority vote of the
thank you. Now I present to the regions from the chair perspective two items. First, 10 minutes, or do you want to restrict that? I know a couple of folks have said 5 and 5. Is there any swell of...
Mr.
Chair, I did not know this was going to exist, but I'm like Barbara. I'm a little surprised that we have not had conversation and dialogue of asking detailed questions. Only one meeting we had that in closed session, and I didn't notice that we had a closed session, that we could have had that dialogue, and that was canceled, and the agenda was changed.
I have no problem with that, but I am like Barbara. I'm a little surprised that you as chair have always done a marvelous job of maintaining our decorum in our meetings and the discussion on a very serious matter like this that we're expected to back up. I don't think it's appropriate to all of a sudden now go back to something that we're not practicing. So I would suggest that we have the maximum 10 minutes if we wanted to take it, and the other compromise is that I think there should be a clarification at the end of those topics. If we're misquoting square footage or something, we need the opportunity to say the parties that no, we're wrong or we're right. And I just don't understand how you can do that.
Yeah, well, there's another parliamentary move that you might want to consider, and that is you go into a meeting of the whole, a committee of the whole. Meeting the whole is somewhat like an executive session where you can discuss back and forth, but you cannot take a vote in the committee of the whole. You then come out of the committee of the whole and take your vote. That's more parliamentary maneuvering, but it certainly might be appropriate for this particular issue.
But that would not be a closed session.
It would not be a closed session.
The only reason we can go into closed session is to deal with property or legal matters, and which was the case when we had the executive session a few weeks ago, but it's certainly not the case today because there is no property transaction, a deed transaction on the table at this point.
John, I appreciate your comments. Dr. Birch, I appreciate yours. What I might suggest is that we proceed following the Roberts Rules of Order, and at the end of the day, when we're finished, if there's an overwhelming sentiment among the members that they've not had the opportunity to ask that all-important question and we want to take a vote and two-thirds of us agree that that needs to happen, then that happens. I'm really positive of a couple of things, that the board has had ample opportunity to discuss this amongst themselves, that we're up to speed, and I also think that in everybody's time limit, we'll get pretty much all the topic covered. I suspect that it'll be covered. So with that being said, is there any movement, a motion to suspend or otherwise change the Roberts rules? Hearing none, we will go into discussion. Each member know that they have 10 minutes and they may speak twice. At this point, following that procedure, Mr. Johnson, you were the maker of the motion. Do you wish to speak now, or do you want to defer?
I'd like to defer.
Anyone want to speak?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a few remarks, and I'm going to use one of those precious minutes to congratulate both the President and the Provost on the excellent convocation. I thought it was the best I've seen, and remarks were heartfelt. And it's not a good day to have to disagree with the President. But I've prepared a statement that I'd like to read. It will take less than 10 minutes. And with that, I'm going to say, while my unique circumstance will require me to abstain from the vote concerning this matter, I have nonetheless, as others have, given great thought to our subject at hand and feel that my fiduciary duties compel me to express my opinions. Since my life for the last 44 years has been consumed in the science, art, and business of medicine, my perspective would understandably and necessarily be different from most others on this board. After intense introspection, I believe that expressing my thoughts is congruent with my fiduciary duties to WKU, which include being prudent and well-informed while acting both independently and in good faith. I have no doubt that others who may disagree with my thoughts are likewise being true to those same principles and to what they think is best for WKU. With that being said, my concerns include a wide spectrum of issues. In my judgment, there will be significant fallout involving many constituents of the university if the decision to proceed is made. Important bridges may be burned. Some of the criticism will be swift and loud. Much more, I'm afraid, will be prolonged and beneath the surface. I have little doubt that it will create a storm of negative controversy that will linger over our campus for years, if not decades, to come. A decision to move forward with this project will most certainly sever relationships,
both old and new, with individuals and groups that have given generously to our university. I fear it will further fracture the medical community in Bowling Green, which will in turn seriously jeopardize the ability to adequately train medical students during the critical clinical years. Third and fourth year clinical rotations are in essence apprenticeships and will require every physician and every healthcare entity in Bowling Green to work in harmony while embracing the ambitious venture of a new medical school in South Central Kentucky. I'm very much in favor of creating this opportunity, but having founded a family medicine training program in rural Kentucky with the University of Louisville in the mid-1990s, I understand the complexities and difficulties involved in medical education. I also know firsthand the absolute essential cooperation between all medical entities, which must exist for this venture to be successful. Those hands-on experiences provided by an army of local physicians will in large measure determine the competency of those soon-to-be physicians. One might argue that that will be the University of Kentucky's problem. I would more strongly argue that it will be everyone's problem and will reflect directly on WKU and the Bowling Green community. It will most certainly be a problem for the public that is ultimately exposed to clinicians who may have less than optimum training. By co-branding with a large hospital system, we are partnering with an entity who is among the highest cost providers in our area and represents an industry that is the number one cause of personal bankruptcies in America. The biggest problem with healthcare in America, and the one the Affordable Care Act failed to address, is that it costs too much. Hospital services, both inpatient and outpatient, are the most expensive that exist, and I have serious reservations concerning what impact this alliance will have on WKU's total healthcare costs. With reference to the promised reduced co-payments and co-insurance for WKU employees, I would ask attorneys for both parties to provide assurances that no federal or state anti-kickback statutes are being violated. These statutes generally require extreme financial hardship to be demonstrated before allowing such discounts. And even if these concessions are allowable, they may be considered as inducements for some of the much more expensive fees as outlined in the packet of materials that were given to us. The designation of nonprofit status by many American hospitals is simply a misnomer, and I do not believe that there will be any true bargains in this arrangement. Let us also remember that the cost of health care is a major driver in the upward spiraling price of tuition. While quality of care is more difficult to measure, this board will need to be prepared for the accusations that some sacrifices are being made in that realm as well. This may especially be true from our student athletes who will in effect have no choice of provider. I'm not sure what price can or should be attached to matters of trust and loyalty, but some, including myself, will surely shed a tear for those virtues if this deal is consummated. While others around this room can speak more directly to matters of on-campus morale, I too have worries about the effect this decision will have on faculty, staff, and students. Rightly or wrongly, it will be viewed as more emphasis on athletics over academics. As to what effect this will have on our current presidential search, I am less certain, but do worry that any negative controversy could carry over to negative consequences in that arena as well. I do believe that it will have a chilling effect on the next capital campaign, which that individual will be expected to launch soon after taking over the presidency. In that respect, the long-term consequences and cost of this deal may not be evident until well in the future. In closing, I do absolutely believe that governing boards such as ours should and will be held accountable for whatever decision is made. I think that the public at large, as well as the many special WKU stakeholders, expect us to be deliberative and well-informed on issues of this magnitude, while exercising our fiduciary duties of care, loyalty, and obedience. I also recognize the importance of collective decision-making
and will abide by whatever decision is made here today with steadfast belief that we all strive to uphold the high ideals and purpose of this great institution of higher learning. Appreciate you indulging me for that.
Thank you, Dr.
That's my statement.
In the rotation, is there anyone that wants to speak for the motion?
Well, I'll, if nobody else will, Chair. Like everyone at this table, when this proposal was first presented several weeks ago, it caused me to take another look at what my obligations and responsibilities sitting here are. And like everybody else at this table, I believe that I came to the proper conclusion that it's the university, it's Western Kentucky University, that is first and foremost in my thought process and as I analyze what we need to do to go forward. Before I go further, I want to make one comment that there has been a lot of conversation privately among us. Conversation has now started officially with this motion. And I'm proud to be a part of this board and to associate with each of the individuals on this board, regardless of whether I agree or I disagree with your opinion. Because without that debate, without that insight, without that conversation, and without listening, we have no chance of moving forward. And that's been the hallmark, certainly since I've been here. It will be the hallmark going forward. It certainly has been the hallmark for the last 19, soon to be 20 years. So I appreciate what you say. I listen to what you say. And I do have a difference of opinion. And my opinion is based on what I'd like to say is accentuating the positives of this proposal. And what are they? Well, there are some obvious positives that start out. One is a $22 million gift. That's not something that we can turn a blind eye to. Certainly there are costs, not necessarily significant financial costs, but other costs that have to be taken into consideration, as Dr. Bell has put forward. We have a facility proposed that will expand to our student population. Currently, the facility that we have there, or lack of facility since it's just a field, is used for only one thing, as I understand it, to make correct me if I'm wrong, and that is practice field for the football team on grass. And so they use that facility, I presume, this is my guess, whenever they are going to play somebody that has a grass field as opposed to a turf field. So it has limited use, not used for intramurals, not used for band practice, not used for, you know, that field in there is not used for baseball. And I don't think it's getting the utilization that property can secure. If we build this facility, another positive, we will end up, not we, the medical center, excuse me, we will end up in a multi-use facility that makes it more attractive to all students, athletic side as well as the intramural, the band, as well, and so there's an expanded use here. And I think that is attractive to students. To look at this campus, and let's stop just for a second and go to the presentation and the speech this morning. It's the charge that the board 19 years ago gave to Gary, and that was to expand and build this university. And as each step was taken, as you look at each single step taken, that vision, that development, what occurred was we didn't stand still just because we built that building or developed this or adopted that program. We moved forward. We didn't stand on our laurels. Because the moment we stand on our laurels, the minute we say no more expansion because we're afraid of the cost, not the financial cost, the cost, the intrinsic cost, I guess you should say, then we stop existing as an institution. We don't attract students. We don't keep students. We don't develop programs. That's what this university has done in the last 19 years, and that's what it's going to do in the next 190 years. We can't stop now. And I think this puts out in front of the whole community, the Commonwealth, as well as our whole region, where we stand, that we're going forward, that we're developing for the students, and the faculty, and the staff. And we will develop for the students, the faculty, and the staff if we can put this facility in. We have an opportunity to develop a partnership that will enhance that. And I think that partnership is crucial and important. And I urge support of this motion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Regent Johnson. Next rotation is someone that wants to speak against the motion. Mr. Ridley.
Since we have been in a confidential, requested to be in confidential matters over this, it's been very difficult to share and discuss ideas and possibilities. So from that regard, I don't think we've had adequate time to understand this procedure and this proposal, particularly when we throw a number out like 99 years. My dear mother's 96, and the first time she saw this campus was in 1932. If this type of transaction goes, today Dr. Ransell even said that the speed of transactions are happening at a rapid pace, and yet we're taking a major decision in tying to 99 years. The reference that Dr. Ransell made in his presentation of Ogden College Foundation and the contract of 1960, that was 56 years ago, and what takes place today is not what took place 56 years ago. 1970, they had a class in slide rule, and within one year, we went to calculators. We are making a major decision and tying future generations to a situation which I think is totally inappropriate in that regard. The U.S. Fed does not even use a 30-year treasury as a benchmark any longer. We use the 10-year treasury. So all around us, we're 99 years or 50 years on a lease with the Chinese government. Where that all began and started in our environment, I'm surprised, quite frankly, about that. Since we've been in this confidential situation, the only conversations I've been able to have is with me, myself, and I. And so I've had to play many different roles as I ask to myself the questions of exactly what type of deal are we talking about. But I'd like to compliment and to thank, actually, all the individuals, and particularly the WKU departments, that have worked very hard in a very short period of time. If you look at the calendar, we were only presented this on July the 19th. Once again, in trying to draw a timeline, that is 30 days ago or thereabouts, and we're discussing a 99-year commitment. So once again, let's use that as a reference. I'd also like to thank the medical community, particularly the medical center, for their support in a project that would benefit the students. Sometimes when you oppose something, immediately there is a us versus them type mentality, and that is what I would like to avoid, because this is a visionary approach to solving a problem, an advancement in a visionary concept. That includes the entire medical center community. So my comments and concerns have nothing to do with the entity itself. It's with the concept of what we're trying to do. And that is where I have spent the majority of my time. Thank you, Dr. Bale, for communicating very eloquently this issue of community. Most of you know that in any competitive environment, there can become parties that become polarized on issues when it is either created by actual events or its perception. The issue in the Bowling Green community and around the medical has existed for way over 60 years. And for anyone that isn't aware of that, to blindly say it won't happen because you're not familiar with it is not doing the due diligence that a fiduciary should do. So we have been unable to communicate with the medical community on the pros or the cons of whether this is a good thing for us. Again, talking about polarization and the advancement of a medical school. How we could have done that, it would have been difficult. Again, confidence is confidence, but I understand that we exist in an environment where perception meets reality quicker than we think. If this deal was to go through, we should create harmony, not discord. We are not in a fray between two groups, and why we would ever put ourselves in that position is amazing to me. Let's move to cost for a moment. There has been no study that has been made on best use of the property that that we're talking about leasing. The cost, it's my understanding that when someone wants to put their name on a building, and Mark Archibald could make this very clear, the tradition has been 25% of the cost to put your name. So if anyone in this room would like to put their name on a building, you would go to what the cost of the building would be, you'd calculate 25%, and then you would make that contribution in the form of a charitable gift. Well, so when we talk about a $22 million building, if it was coming from another private source, a corporation that was outside of the healthcare industry, and we were going to build a building, we would ask them to make a contribution in excess of $5 million. But in this deal, there are two buildings that are being branded. So therefore, you should take both of the buildings and put them together and find out what 25% of that number is. And quite frankly, if you do it on the back of a napkin, it could be somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $12 million. So when we talk about a $22 million building, you can take $12 million right off the top. So this gift is not a $22 million building, it's a $12 million building. And that's the gift. Now couple that with the branding. If you believe that we are going to continually excel at WKU, then that brand should mirror image the success of the academic and athletic program. There is no escalation clause in this for using this branding. There is no lift if they get the entity, whatever corporation it is, if they get an advancement in their ability to use this brand. That is left out of this arrangement. I was going to try to do a little joke at the early part of this, but of course, obviously, this is a quite serious matter. But through this last 30 days, I have put post-it notes on everything in our home, and Carolyn thought I was building an airplane. So how complicated this was. But she kept asking me what I was doing because they were phrases and words, and these words of fiduciary and integrity and all of these things. Of this deal is not a bad deal. From the standpoint of the vision, this is a bad deal because the timing is wrong. We have not done enough due diligence. The concept, I cannot say, is bad, but the timing and the involvement in a situation in the community is very, very bad. How am I doing on my time? I've got about 2 minutes more.
Right under 3 minutes. 2:50.
Thank you. Dr. Bell mentioned something about the presidential search. We will do a poor job in a presidential search if the fallout of this is anything like I think it will, of negative press, personal relationship strain in the community. Because if I were on the outside looking in and I was thinking about coming to a wonderful university with all the possibilities, why would I start my career at a place where I'm going to spend time defending actions that were taken before my presence, knowing that within 6 to 9 months that's going to happen? Now, this opportunity didn't exist in February. That wasn't discussed when we announced the medical center. So why all of a sudden do we have to do it right this minute? And so the timing, I don't think, is appropriate. If we lose one presidential candidate, just one, that could have been the one, because they wouldn't want to come with any volatile issues that they did not create or that they would have to defend, then we've done a poor job in our fiduciary responsibilities, and that is a very high risk. And with that, I think I'll pause on my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Regent Ridley. Is there a fourth speaker?
Well, I look at this a little bit differently because I was a Western undergraduate and went to UK Law School and live out of the service district, which is, by the way, is a requirement of the state appointment of board members. You have to have a certain number of people that live outside of the community. And I appreciate what Dr. Bale has said and some of the points that we've heard. My focus is, I think if you look around other universities, it's very common even for private and secular universities now to have joint ventures, so to speak, rather than just cash laid out for a project. And President Ramsdale referred to this in his comments this morning. We all know, just trying to keep up with your own bank account and investments and contracts that you get from the pest control company and the heating and cooling company to stay up to date and make choices, it's ever changing. You don't just get a company and stick with it forever. And like law firms, medical practices evolve. A group that's together today may metamorphose into a larger group. It's a corporate world. And I look at the positive points on this, and I think I know all the board members very well. I've just met Jason, but and of course Julie's been around on the foundation board in recent years and other things. I think we have a very competent board, and I have great appreciation for every member of this board. My comment, I want to kind of focus on this. I think we have an opportunity here to effectively have a building that we need for a service we need. And I'm not real concerned about whether the medical center merges with another company in the future, or, you know, that's going to take on it. That's out of our control. But I think that this is a good. I think that this gift is before us, and I think this is something that can benefit the university and benefit the community. And in all things, we have some concerns about when we revamped the student center. That was, I think, one of the largest expenditures on campus at the time. But I think that I don't have a lot of it. Maybe I'm missing some big point, but I have the faith in Western and this board and the communities and people in general. I think that this is will be a very good thing when we look over it in the near future, if it passes.
That is, Dave.
That's it.
Thank you, Regent Porter. Someone against? Regent Richie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to preface my prepared remarks that I've written by saying that I respect President Ransdell's vision for this university greatly, and in the end, I will respect what this board decides so we can all move forward together, as other regents have said. When this information was first presented to most of us, I leaned towards supporting it simply because, ostensibly, this is about an indoor practice facility and a partnership with an influential company. While I believe the indoor practice facility and student use of the new building would be great for student athletes and students, after much research, reading the additional information on this project, and listening to fellow board members' concerns, I cannot in good conscience vote in favor of this project. I prepared a bulleted list of concerns. First and foremost, it appears to me that approving this project demonstrates that we are just a pawn in a decades-long game between healthcare providers, and it could badly damage long-standing relationships with many key groups, such as other healthcare providers in Bowling Green and donors to the university and the Bowling Green community. The medical center would not be doing this unless they knew it was going to bring a profit to their company, and by accepting their offer, we are immediately terminating healthy partnerships with other medical providers in Bowling Green. Two, M&O costs we will be paying could have gone to reduce the massive cuts to track and field, but instead we'll be creating a new building. This is very bad optics during budget cuts. We should at least require the athletics department to pay for maintenance and operation if we're going to move forward with this. Three, if Graves Gilbert Clinic has been dedicated to us, and now we would be turning our backs on them before our contract with them over health services expires. Four, while this is certainly acceptable for the medical center in terms of it aligning with their business model, we simply cannot condone a situation where it is perceived that WKU is selling itself out for a building for athletics. Five, we have in no way, shape, or form gauge of the student, faculty, or staff response to this to see what those most effective of this decision would want. And six, most importantly, as it's been said, I believe that this is very poorly timed when we are selecting a new president. We can very easily turn away highly qualified candidates with toxic decisions such as this. There are some positives, but the negatives in the long term are overwhelming, I believe. A far more prudent solution would be to build onto the health sciences complex as is and raise private funding for a WKU-owned indoor practice facility. It seems as though we could do a whole lot more inside such a building without being beholden to the medical center. And now I'll speak extemporaneously about the student response and what students should want from this and how this is great for students. I will use an example last year when the tuition freeze was before the legislature. And when we first talked to students about the tuition freeze, a lot of students automatically wanted to support that because that means their tuition would be frozen for 4 years. If you're attending this university for 4 years, that's obviously a great thing. When you look deeper into that, I know everyone on this board would not support a tuition freeze because it's so much deeper than just freezing tuition. We've seen catastrophic results of tuition freezes in other states that once that tuition freeze is over, tuition can skyrocket. And so sometimes students don't look and see all the implications of what some decisions might be. So with this particular example, if you would show students this presentation, you see indoor practice facility and all the amenities that comes with it, I guarantee a lot of students would be supportive without looking deeper into what this means for our university in the long run. So there are a lot of negative implications that come with this project, just like a lot of other examples. I use the tuition freeze because I think it's a good one for students, that students need to look past just beautiful buildings and see what this could mean for our university and for the Bowling Green community. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Regent Todd. This time we'll flip back. Is there another four spokesperson?
I've been advised that not to be bashful because I don't think anybody's ever found me to be bashful. But I can speak at the first meeting. And I'd just like to make a comment. I find this fascinating. I think everybody's got good pros and cons, but I will tell you strictly that I look at this as a business decision. And the facts are that they're going to give us $22 million medical center. We're not going to get that money unless we build this building. All this other is conjecture about what will happen with the community and people against each other and not work together. That's all conjecture. We don't have that by fact. I think that this would add to the campus. I think it's something that is needed. And as I said, I think it's strictly a business decision. I think that's how we need to look at it. I live in Louisville. I'm used to every hospital not getting along with another one. I mean, they don't get along, and they all provide different services. And the medical center may find a niche here at WKU, but that gives HCA an opportunity to find a niche for themselves. And I think that would actually propel them to do something and maybe do something even better. You just never know. So as I was saying to you, as a business decision, I think this is a go. I think this is something we should do. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Henson. And the guest spokesperson?
I have two.
I know. I'm supposed to exhaust everybody's one first.
Oh.
And then, okay. Is that right, Dr. Katz? I'm supposed to exhaust the one.
I didn't understand. Didn't understand.
No.
Do I have the option to? No option.
Let me. I want to be again. I think it's very important. We want to be completely transparent. We'll get everybody a chance to speak. Everybody gets the one first, right, Doctor? Okay. So we're still on the first-time speaker.
And if you run out of force, then you can have everybody speak against, or if you run out of against, everybody can speak for you.
So we're Ridge Riley, we'll get to you if I don't have any more number ones. So I'm up for a first-time speaker against.
Oh, I'll be glad to speak for.
Dr. Burgess, you chair rep.
For or against?
We're up to an against speaking.
Well, okay, I'm with you. I got to wake up here. Sorry.
I'm trying to keep
I will speak. Thank you. I'm not going to be quite as eloquent as my colleagues here who wrote this out in advance, because I had a hunch that a number of things would be said and I didn't need to repeat them. And so I'm just going to say double ditto on what Dr. Bales said and on what Regent Ridley said and on which our student Regent J. Todd said. I'm going to hit some other bullets that I think maybe haven't been made. And in terms of, Julie, your last comment, and I respect your knowledge as a businesswoman, I do think this is about a business deal. And I think it's a good business deal for the medical center or any other partner we would have. I think the question is it a good deal for Western? In terms of the cost, I think there's another cost, and that's the loss of our independence and the potential for sustaining existing partnerships and creating new ones across campus. And I think that's a big price to pay. While we learned about what's in this, some of the things that we didn't allow, didn't enter into the discussion, had to do with the exclusivity of this agreement. For example, this agreement would have no advertising on campus by any other healthcare provider. It would have unlimited use of our logo and our tagline to any medical center-affiliated entity. It would have dedicated parking and designated parking in the Keene parking lot, a student parking lot, after we have just a few months ago, last year, asked students to pay an additional fee to build a parking garage because we are short on parking and it's at such a premium. We're going to bring all of the customers of the medical center orthopedic facility onto this campus, 99 years of parking, including Keene lot, with the idea that if they do not stay, whoever they designate as the next entity to occupy it would have that parking. Do we need that? I think there's a big issue also about breaking a trust. When we were looking for partners to help us in a very serious time where we were trying to create an on-campus medical facility, we had a partner who came forward. Every health provider in this community had that opportunity. A partner came forward. I don't think it's the Western way to say to our partners, hey, we just came up with a better cash deal, and now we're going to just break our contract with you. And make no mistake, this agreement says that contract will be broken. It says the contract, which would go another year and a half, will end by a designated date with this decision. The other piece about this is cost effectiveness. Dr. Bell referenced data. We were given data, and we've been given a minimum amount of data. I agree with Mr. Ridley that we don't have a lot of information. We're speculating on what will be the outcome. There's nothing in this to suggest that the costs are going to be less. And while I'm pleased that there would be an incentive for faculty and staff who could get money back or something back for using this healthcare provider, and Medical Center is a superb healthcare provider. It wouldn't matter to me if this was Medical Center or any other provider, my comments would be the same. Those incentives will go to staff and to faculty. They will not necessarily come to the university's bottom line for what we pay for health insurance costs. Health insurance costs are going to be what they are, and we're going to pay for them no matter what incentives you give to employees. I think the M&O savings is deceptive. To think that we're going to do nothing but pay a few more utilities to get into a building and operationalize it, I think is not realistic. The lack of inclusion is huge for me. I don't know if I put yellow notes or not, John, but I've talked to myself a lot about this because you couldn't talk to anybody else except all of you, and I appreciate that. I think this has been an absolutely marvelous opportunity to see the extent to which this board is willing to talk with one another about a difficult issue, and Freddie, I appreciate that.
And I also believe that the lack of inclusion of our constituents, our campus, I understand that the president's motive has always been about what's best for this campus. But in this instance, finding out what's best means that you somehow have to also ask the people who are affected. And more people are affected than just athletics or just PT, doctor of physical therapy, or just orthopedics in the medical center. No one else has been involved. This is a decision making this a priority. And it is not a gift. This is not a gift. I'm sorry, David, but it's not a gift. This is a business deal. This is selling certain rights, a whole lot of rights, rights to exclusivity. In fact, it also says that we absolutely cannot enter into any other partnership with healthcare providers on this campus unless the medical center has the first right of refusal. If you don't look at this as locking out everybody else, I know people at the medical center, I applaud them, and I admire what they do. It is quality healthcare. But I would say this about any exclusive arrangement with any healthcare provider, you've got to look at the impact of what that's going to do on everything else on our campus. It will have an impact. And it will also suggest that this deal was cut somehow for a purpose that maybe we haven't yet talked about, and I don't think that's necessarily true. I think it puts us at risk. There's nothing to guarantee that U of K will stay in that third floor space or will not choose to occupy other space, in which case we are left with paying the lease on the third floor of that building. How much time do I have left?
1 minute.
I'm good. Okay. I'm going to skip ahead and I'm going to say, what about athletics? I don't know. I know the athletic director has been involved, and I'm sure he speaks with a lot of comfort about what he thinks his folks would like. But what this does, is this the highest priority for athletics to get an indoor practice facility? I mean, would it have been a higher priority to preserve some of the track and field? Is it that highest priority to take decades of relationship with physicians and orthopedists who have cared for that team and suddenly sever the relationship? I ask if this is really the question, the goal we're trying to attain. The goal we're trying to attain is to facilitate the location and operation of the UK Medical School in Bowling Green and enhance the opportunities for Western faculty and students and the value to the community. That's what we're trying to do. Everything in this agreement relative to this facility and this deal can be accomplished without this facility except for one thing. That is, we cannot get an indoor athletics practice facility without this deal. If athletics wants to do so, they can create opportunities with the medical center, orthopedics, and physician group to engage more with their team. Dr. Physical Therapy is already well located. In fact, 3 years ago, we said what a wonderful thing it was to locate them down in the medical center so they'd be near all the patients. Now we bring them to campus. We have more parking problems. All of your folks have to now park here. Your clients have to park here in our already burdened parking system. They're already in the supremely positive location to access all kinds of patients, including our athletes. We don't need this partnership for their access to our athletes. Baseball's well located. They've got more space now than they're going to have when they move. Doctor Physical Therapy, I don't know, you may correct me, but I don't know of any Doctor Physical Therapy programs that require gymnasium-style facilities to do rehab and the kinds of work that you do in the program. And this Doctor Physical Therapy program is not just about sports medicine. It is much, much broader. And so that affiliation may or may not help the appearance of our program. I also think it's possible to find other space for the medical program. Jay Todd mentioned the idea of building on. We said earlier, Dr. Ansel said that building was built to build additional floors. Let's get a deal with U of K. Let's build those additional floors. We've got 2 years before the first students came. And as Dr. Bell said, the first years for those medical students, even if we're a few months delayed, we can still make it work. Last comment, if I have time.
You have a minute, 20 seconds.
I do. Then I'll skip to the last one. Recently, we got a copy of a newspaper article describing a situation at U of K, and in it, Dr. Ransdell shared it with us and noted that the private sector is willing to invest serious money to gain access to business that marketing and access in a campus community provides. That is important. That is a huge policy issue for this board, and one that I think we should address before we start making decisions. And we need to consider the alternative of that, and that is access at what price? An important tenet is to preserve institutional autonomy and independence and to keep the door open for partnerships across the spectrum of all our constituents, including all of our healthcare constituents. I know we're all going to strive to make judgments on what's best for the institution. I know there are ways of looking at it, but I cannot find any way that this is not going to create fractionization and chaos and distrust of us from some of our community, and I strongly urge we not approve it.
Sorry, Barbara, I didn't mean for that to go on. Region Birch, thank you. Now we're back to a four-person region if they want to speak. Region McKinney?
I would like to point out that not only are we giving up the $22 million gift, but we would also be required to spend $15 million more, and who's to say McKay won't leave a lease on a new $15 million building will be on the hook for that. The other item is the community. If we turned out a gift, will we not possibly be angering a significant portion of our community? And that's all I have.
Thank you, Regent McKinney. We're now back to anyone speak against? Regent Smith.
Thank you. First, I do want to express my sincerest appreciation for all the work that I know several of you have spent on working on this and for Dr. Ransdell's vision. And there are many positive aspects to it. I appreciate that Dr. Ransdell, when I expressed concerns over M&O and the increase in fixed costs, that they looked at that, were able to get closer and actually result in the amount being lower. While there is merit, there is many unknowns, and those unknowns concern me. I have learned, you know, more about the contentions in the medical agencies, and I don't, that's not something I'm very familiar with, but I don't think it's in our best interest to place ourselves in the middle of some of those in some ways. And I don't believe that the medical center would be doing this if they weren't going to make substantial profits and gains from the agreement as well. I think the biggest issue for me is, as Regent Ridley said, the environment and the timing. The environment is not right at this time for this. I believe it's very telling that if you look at those who have spoken against, there are those of us who are here at the university on a daily basis and every day and are intimately involved with what's going on. We've seen firsthand the negative impacts of the budget cuts, the problems that exist with some existing buildings, the cuts to student services, the cuts to the faculty and staff, which are the heart of our mission. We've lost faculty lines. We lost over 200 employees to an outsourcing and several handful of people who actually lost lines. But when we're losing faculty lines and we're outsourcing our staff, to turn around and then say we're going to build a new building, which is going to will increase our fixed costs once again, after we've just struggled to reduce those fixed costs by over $6 million, it's just the timing is not right on that. Again, I absolutely support Dr. Ransdell's work on behalf of WKU, and it was an amazing convocation. And he is, I cannot speak highly enough for him. And no matter what the outcome is, I support the board, and we'll move forward with whatever it is and that the majority vote on. But I strongly urge you to seriously consider the impact that it will have on the WKU community that's here on this campus. Thank you.
Thank you, Regis Smith. We're back now to the four spokesperson. Back to an against spokesperson. This is your, we're in the second round now.
Well, let me just shift gears a little bit then, and I think by going around the table, we've had a vote, and it's obvious which way this is going. So going forward, I think it's absolutely incumbent upon our president and all of us to facilitate whatever can be done to build the relationships that will make this program successful. This whole venture is really coming out of the fact that they're going to establish a medical school here, which I think is a great thing, and I'm all for it. But again, as I iterated earlier, you know, if for this to be successful and for us not to end up having to reassume a lease, which is a relatively minor piece of it, but for this whole thing to be successful, this medical community in this region, but particularly here in Bowling Green, is going to have to work in harmony, and they're going to have to learn to get along better than they ever have. And whether Western can catalyze that or help orchestrate it, I don't know, but I think it's going to be incumbent upon our president and our board to do whatever they can to make that happen. The other thing that I think would be very important going forward here, and anybody that's heard me rail about health care costs and the fact that in America we spend twice as much per person for health care, and yet we have miserable results, ranked last in the industrialized world in all the categories relating to treatment of chronic disease, We need to have a little more transparency of cost, and particularly since we are self-funded, if this process goes forward, something needs to be put in place, and we need to ask tough questions so that our employees and anybody who is spending our health care dollars, which is going up, as we heard this morning, to $600 per person per month, that we're spending that money wisely and that we're getting a good return for what we're spending it for. There have been multiple articles, there are books written about it, how, you know, you can go to one hospital in Louisville and get a tube put in a year and it costs $3,600, and the same surgeon doing the same procedure in another hospital, it's $1,200.
That's correct.
And I'm telling you, that happens.
That is correct.
And the most hospitals today, their main income stream is outpatient medicine, which is what most of our employees would be utilizing. And let me say, I have nothing but good things to say about the medical center. When I was hospitalized 3 years ago, I was in their intensive care unit and had good care, and I send patients down there regularly. So I'm not talking about the medical center per se. I'm talking about the American healthcare system in American hospitals, and if we're going to go forward with this, we owe it to Western Kentucky University, and we owe it to our employees to add as much transparency to these costs that they're going to incur as we can.
Thank you, Dr. Bell. We're back to a four. Is there a four? And I, as chair, I've obviously deliberately past the first 10 minutes, I would like to speak at this time. I want to say a couple of things. I'm so proud of all of us and each of you in how we've engaged in this board over the last, in my tenure, in the conversation and deliberations that's gone on. I think we're fully engaged. We're asking the right questions. We can agree to disagree, and I know and I appreciate the comments that have been made by others that whatever the outcome of this vote today, we'll all fall in line and support that decision. I am for this proposal. And you may remember in our last board meeting, Regent McKinney wasn't there, Regent Henson wasn't there, but I talked about some people having the vision. I was reminded this morning when Dr. Ransdale gave his convocation speech that vision, and I saw it, and I felt the burden on my shoulder of the obligation that those regents that sat in our seats in 1997 through all the years up to now charged this gentleman with a mandate of transformation and philanthropic endeavors. And he's done that for every day for 19 years. And I thought back about the tough decisions that our former board members made. Student housing, Gatton Academy, Division I football, and you saw them this morning. And they weren't easy decisions, and they represented change, and they represented opportunities. And our board, our predecessors, took that opportunity. So I was challenging myself as I sat there. Is that what we're faced with today? We're faced as Gary said to us, opportunities are fleeting. He didn't go looking for this opportunity, it found us. And it's a fleeting opportunity. And our timelines are restricted because of building requirements and whatnot. We know that other players were offered opportunities, but we had someone step up. Will there be black clouds in the future? Absolutely. I've never seen the perfect deal. I've never seen the perfect opportunity. But what I do know is that I trust this board to handle it, and I especially trust this president to navigate that matter. And so when I sit down and look at the positives, I'm overwhelmed with the opportunities that they present. I believe in marketplace. Medical costs, the market will cure those problems. It always happens. It will happen again. I look at the opportunity that we have with this president for the next 10 months to manage this opportunity and to manage any black cloud that appears. I look at this board, and as we've gone through our budget cycle, we were challenged, as you remember sitting here a year ago, we were challenged with a real need to address the compensation of our faculty and staff. And this board stepped up, and this board made it a priority, and we nailed that priority. We reached out to our faculty, we reached out to our staff, we engaged them in the conversation, we provided communication at a forum. And so I challenge our faculty and our staff to realize that we're here for the best interests of the university. Change is hard. It would be so easy not to accept change. It would be so easy for President Ransdell to say, this is a new challenge, so I'll just leave it for the next guy. But he is stepping up. He is betting his legacy on the success of this venture. I look back at 19 years of track record, and I cannot see a time or an occasion where his vision and his assessment situation has not been right on. I think this is a very fortuitous situation for us, and that we ought to grab this opportunity. Thank you. Person that wants to speak against, Reed Ridley.
I mentioned in our earlier remarks where perception meets reality, and I don't want, and I'm not trying to correct fellow board members, but this in no stretch of the imagination is a gift. If we leave this place and we let the press spin this as a gift, that is the wrong way that this deal has come down. I mean, you just need to know that. Secondly, I agree with Julie. This is a business transaction. It is a transaction for the medical center. That is what this is. If in any way you think that we went and approached them and said, would you give us $22 million, that didn't happen. That's what happened with the Gatton Academy. That's what happened with a lot of things. That's what happened in the Augustine Alumni Center. That does happen. But this is strictly a business transaction with no chance to review it on a frequent basis. None. They are in total control. Let's go back to the business transaction. When you do a business transaction, it's not just the advantage and disadvantage. It is how are you going to control the risk that you expose yourself to. And we are going to an unrealized risk control. We will not be able to control the risk, whether it's conjure, gossip, or whatever. And believe me, you're wrong on that. that is not an actual thing. I understand business, and I understand this. And when you interview folks and ask them if another hospital would come in Bowling Green, this has been going on since the early 70s, when health care providers did not want us to have Sky Rehab on Campbell Lane. When the certificate of need went to Frankfurt, it was not to be there. So the vision was not to broaden the services, it was to control them. This is not a gift. You cannot give a gift under the IRS regulations and expect a benefit from it. This is a profit center, and it will continue to be a profit center. We do not have any profit that will be paid back to us. We're not sharing in the revenue. All we're doing is saying, here's a $22 million carrot on a stick, and we're avoiding any type of profitability that could be come back. Now, we have a whole department at WKU that works on intellectual property. You invent something, you sell it, we get a revenue stream for it. That is nothing, none of that has been discussed in any of this dialogue, revenue sharing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the reason is because it wasn't put out on the table. My point is that this is a good business deal for the medical center. And if I was over there, I'd be waving the flag and say, if I was on their board, I'd say, let's go for it. This is a great thing. But I'm a fiduciary for this board. And this is a bad business deal for this university. And I oppose it. In its current form. In its current form, this is a bad business deal for the university.
Thank you, Regent Ridley. Back to a four spokesperson.
Well,
sure.
One of the things that I've heard throughout this debate, and something I've observed as all of us have had an opportunity to talk, Barbara, you and I have certainly talked, is that this transaction, this proposal, has changed from mid-July to today. And it's been developed and negotiated with Gary's assistance or Gary's leadership to be more proactive toward the university. We now have control over some of the banding because we're allowed to give a refusal. We have control over the design and the construction of the facility. We have limited the use of the facility to stated purposes that foster Western Kentucky University's purpose as an institution of higher education in the Commonwealth. And these provisions have been put into this agreement as a result of these conversations and provide us more protection and more opportunity. I don't doubt what John says in the least bit. I believe that there is a benefit to the medical center. I also believe that there's a tremendous benefit to the university, to your students, the staff, and the faculty. It's perfect. I doubt it's perfect, as Chairman Higdon stated. But it is vision. It's the future. And we need to keep moving forward toward it. Thank you, that's all.
Thank you, Johnson. Now turn to an against, second round.
No comments, I'll call a question.
Have a motion. Motion to call the question.
I'll second.
Got a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, I need to show hands. I don't know where we are.
Can we get around the room?
You need 2/3 on this one.
Need 2/3?
You get 2/3 to cut it off, yeah.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Call the question. For those in favor, go around the room and let's get the votes. We'll call Madam Secretary.
Regent Bailey.
I'm abstaining, let the record show.
This is two.
This is John. This is
the vote on the motion.
To vote on the motion. In discussion.
In the discussion.
Or continue the discussion.
As opposed to continuing it. Yeah.
No. Don't end the discussion. I like it. I think, in all seriousness, I think it's great that we have been deliberative, and I'm glad it's in public. It needs to be.
We've got a motion and a second to call the question, and so properly we're going to take a vote. Thank you, Dr. Katz. We got 2/3. Bail was a no. Next.
Oh, you got to call the roll, I'm sorry.
I'm calling the roll?
Calling the roll.
Oh, okay. Birch?
No. No means I'm voting no, not to...
To end the discussion.
End it, okay. Be sure.
Harris, no.
Hayden? Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
McKinney?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Ritchie?
No.
Wrigley?
Ridley, yeah. No.
No.
I think we forgot me.
I haven't finished.
Okay.
Smith?
No.
And Henson?
Yes.
So how many yeses are there? Motion fails. We'll continue discussion. We're back to speaking against.
Chair.
Regent Smith.
Did you speak? Just some comments from what Regent Johnson said, and I do appreciate all the work that's been done on that, and it's definitely a much better proposal at this point in time, but we do need to continue growing, and we do need to continue moving forward, and I absolutely agree with that. But I would like to see one of the things that came up in all the forums, open forums that we had across campus for the presidential search, was that every single group wants a focus. They want a stronger focus, and we want that stronger focus to be on academics and what our core values are. And we want to move forward. We need to move forward. We'll continue that. But we need to make sure that we stay focused on that core academics and what we're here for. And at a time when we're cutting those, like I said, cutting faculty lines, cutting staff, we've kind of lost that at this point, I think. And we need to get back to that. I don't believe that people are going to view this as, in this environment at this time, as a positive. I just don't. But it really... You know, you're right. We will continue moving forward, and no matter what the outcome, we'll move forward and be a stronger university.
Thank you, Regis Smith. We're back to a four spokesperson. Is there one?
On second round.
Second round.
I'd just like to say that I feel that having a medical school attached to WKU is positive, nothing but positive. That's one thing we do not have. And there are people that choose, or students that choose to go a different direction because there's no medical school here. And I think that would be a positive thing. The second thing I'd like to say is, with Dr. Ransdell's leadership over the 19 years, I have seen that it's nothing but positive. It's been wonderful. He's taken a chance, and he's gambled. And he's won. I think he's. I bet on him. I bet on him. There's nothing that he has done that has gone belly up that I know of. And we voted him in as our leader. He will be our leader for the next 10 months. And I'm with him. I know he's done his homework. He's looked under every rock and crevice to find the best thing for WKU. My vote is yes.
Thank you, Regent Harris. We're now back to against person. Birch.
Regent Harris, I agree with you completely about the benefits of a medical school and a medical program, and it's obvious we're going to have that. And I think that we need to do everything we can to make sure that Western is a partner and a player in it. I think we have to do that. And I'm sure the president's had a lot to do with the fact that it got to this point. I just simply think this is not the way to get there. When I go back and I revisit the purposes in this letter of intent, the first one is to facilitate location of a medical school on the MC campus. All this does is moves Dr. Physical Therapy off of the third floor and brings them back to campus, adding to a lot of issues here. And we've not asked anybody related to physical therapy, is this a good thing for you? And I won't put you on the spot and do that. But we haven't even asked. In fact, I'm assuming they haven't been involved in it. So all we're doing is moving off the third floor because UK said they'll lease it. UK didn't say how long they'll lease it. They can decide not to lease it for 25 years, and we're paying for two spaces. UK doesn't know exactly what their needs are, and then that's understandable. We don't know what they are either. We're making an assumption if we move off that third floor, this takes care of that piece of it. The rest of it is about improving our Department of Physical Therapy. I think our Department of Physical Therapy is pretty good as it is. And it's in a great location. We put it there to be close to the patients. And expanding the Medical Center's Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine Program. Medical Center is going to expand its program, whether they come and do it on our campus or somewhere else. That's part of their business plan. I agree with Regent Ridley. This is a good business plan for the Medical Center. But it is not a good deal for Western at this time. And I have a hunch that the Medical Center may not think it's such a great deal either if the kinds of repercussions and discussions and dissensions and lack of a feeling, a good feeling about this come that many of us anticipate might happen. I hope it won't. But if it does, the Medical Center will be caught in that fire as well. So I'm not sure they have even thought about some of those things. Most of all, I can't imagine that the Medical Center is looking forward to surrounding itself with a deal or a partnership that results in a lot of community dissension and on-campus dissension. Which brings me to my second part. This campus has fantastic programs and partnerships, and you have them because the faculty and staff and administration and community engage together. This is a partnership that's being designed on the drawing board with just a few people having participated in it. The people who have to make it work have not been engaged in it. And whether or not it will work remains to be seen. But the fact that you don't engage people is generally a surefire way of knowing you're going to hit some bumps and some resistance that you didn't have to. And what ought to be happening in this year is with all of the things, the great changes that have been put in place in the last 19 years, is that we're looking for a way to transition into a time of stability. The heavy carrying on making this work will come for the next president, whoever he or she is. The building will start being built, but making it work will have to be a priority of the next president, which may or may not be a good thing. I'm extremely concerned that this locks out any other partnerships with healthcare providers for the entire university. When somebody wanted to partner and improve a space in the residence halls for our students who are interested in medical careers, we couldn't do that under this agreement. We could not do it. And it does not. And if I'm wrong on that, Gary, somebody will correct me.
I'm not allowed to speak, but yes, you're completely wrong on that, but go on.
All right. It says in here, it's very specific, it's not limited to athletics. The first letter of intent was limited to athletics. The second letter of intent doesn't specify athletics. It says Medical Center has to have first claim on the campus. I mean, I can read it if you want me to. I think thinking of it as a gift is a mistake. It's a 99-year giveaway, and it's not the same as Ogden Foundation or Student Life. It is not the same. That was for something that we could see where we were going. This is a 99-year agreement for somebody to have a lease on our campus, period. And we don't really have the control other than the fact that it has to be a medical center affiliated. I don't think it's the Western way to do this without engaging people who are going to be affected. And at the end of the day, this is about athletics. It's about an indoor practice facility for athletics because that's the only thing that we can get out of this building that we won't get without doing it. And Dr. Ransdale, I think you could use one more challenge, the opportunity to go out and raise $15 million and build an indoor athletics facility. And then we don't have this dissension. I would like to ask, since I have enough time, I think I'd like to ask clarification about my comment.
Minutes.
All right. I'd like to comment about that exclusivity comment. My reading of it is not limited to athletics. And I would say, Mr. Johnson pointed out rightly that a lot of improvements have been made over the original proposal. But one thing that is not an improvement is the exclusivity of all of the marketing on our campus and all of the partnerships that we would do with anybody else. That has been made more explicit in this latest document than the earlier one. And I'd love to give my time to Dr. Ransdell, but you said you can't give your time to anybody. But branding.
Let me get clear. Can they engage in back and forth?
You can ask a question to get an answer.
You want to ask a question, Barbara? Yes. That's what will be fair to everybody.
Yeah, sure.
Let me ask it.
That's marketing. I can assure you we are engaged in serious gift discussions with other healthcare providers, and those gifts will come to fruition. We may start an doctor of occupational therapy, and that will require serious private gifts from private donors, some of which are already in line. It has nothing to do with this project. We even have a proposal to a competitive, large healthcare provider. And I'm confident that gift will come to fruition. This does not keep us from soliciting gifts and creating chairs, professorships, scholarships, facilities, etc., from other healthcare providers. And we will continue to be very aggressive as we move into another capital campaign. And I know that Harvey Wallman is here, and his support of this program is both appreciated and important of this project, and he'll be helping us solicit those gifts. And same thing with Stephen Ray from the Preston Center and what the plans he has for this facility for all of our students. So this does not shut out other healthcare providers from supporting this university, and they are from Louisville to all over the country, including here in Bowling Green, and that will continue to be the case.
I think I would just respectfully suggest that we might want to revisit the way that it's written to.
I think that refers to marketing, and the athletic director, Todd Stewart, is very much aware of the medical center's willingness to buy up the inventory that generates revenue
so
for
So you're
athletics.
Suggesting that it was intended to limit the marketing and any partnerships or any naming of any other healthcare provider by athletics only?
Well, that's what the discussion has been. Now, will we name other facilities only for gifts that relate to those facilities? But that's been our practice here before.
Bert, you still have time. Another four, for anybody that hasn't spoken.
Chairman Higdon, we're starting to repeat ourselves. Is it time for a vote?
Well, we've had a call for the question and we lost us.
Okay.
I just want to make sure everybody's got an opportunity to speak. Hearing no immediate speaker for, is there another against? Hearing no against, are we ready to call the question?
Call the question.
Motion to call the question. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor of calling the question, 2/3, aye?
Aye.
No?
No.
Two no's? I have that correct? Two no's? Motion to call the question passes. Let's do a roll call vote. We'll restate. Would the board like to have the motion restated?
Yes, please.
Please.
The motion was the board of directors authorizes the president to establish a long-term partnership with the Medical Center for healthcare related. My time already up.
That's how much time you lose.
I'll repeat. I'm sorry. It's okay. The motion was that the Board of Regents authorizes the president to establish a long-term partnership with the Medical Center for healthcare-related services for faculty, staff, and students, and on-site access to sports medicine and orthopedic services for students in WKU's Doctor of Physical Therapy program, and to negotiate a long-term lease with the Medical Center of Bowling Green for approximately 2.52 acres of land on Avenue of Champions, on which the Medical Center will build, at its expense, a multi-purpose sports medicine and training facility for the purposes stated above.
Thank you. Everybody okay with the motion?
May I ask a question relative to the motion?
think. Let's stick to the motion, okay.
May we assume that this last version will be the full substance of that agreement, or will this board have a chance to see that, or what actually goes into that agreement?
I think you can assume that represents the substance of the agreement. So their board has met twice, and I don't think I can ask them to meet a third time on this. And I did solicit this from them. It was not something they brought to me. I went to them for this after going to the other healthcare providers in our community to do the same thing, and they gracefully declined. I went to the medical center to ask them to do this precisely as it's outlined. So this was a solicitation from me to them, and they responded positively.
Okay.
I have a clarification, Dr. Rand. You, after our meeting on July the 19th, you went to other healthcare facilities?
No. I went to others first, and they declined.
Yeah, but not since this proposal was given to us. There's not been another opportunity.
I have not gone back.
Just wanted to clarify that.
No, I have not gone back to them, because I knew they were very clear that they were not in a position to do this.
Can I ask a question? Dr. Rainsdale, how do they feel about us having this constant conversation, or this conversation that we're having right now, when they brought a deal and they've been willing to work with you?
Well,
let's...
Okay.
That's point over. Let's not
okay.
Go there.
Not good.
Okay. Ready for the vote. We had a call question and it's passed. So, Madam Secretary, if you'll call the vote.
Regent Bale.
Abstain.
Regent Birch.
No.
Regent Harris. Yes. Chairman Higby.
Yes.
Regent Henson.
Yes.
Regent Johnson.
Yes.
Regent McKinney.
Yes.
Regent Porter.
Yes.
Regent Ritchie.
No.
Regent Wrigley?
No.
Regent Smith?
No.
We have 6 yeses, 4 noes, and 1 abstain.
Motion passes. At this juncture, thank everyone for very conscientious, spirited, productive debate. We look forward to working to put this motion into effect.
We need one.
At this point, that's the agenda for our special call meeting, and we will now stand in adjournment.